What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I am your host, Mike Milner. And today I'm about to make life a lot easier for you, help you understand what's missing. I get that question a lot. I feel like I'm doing so many things right, and there's just something missing. Why am I not seeing the progress that I'd like to see? And I'm going to explain exactly why that's the case. And you probably won't like the answer, because as is usually the case, when the truth is hard to hear, we find ways to dance around it. It's just human nature. Whenever we get the gut punch, slap in the face, reality check, it's hard to process, it's hard to absorb, and then our defenses go up. We get this fight or flight response. Not me. You don't understand. That's not the case, blah, 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 blah. But if you are one of the few who can actually listen and hear it, and take it in, then I think that this will be very liberating and empowering. But with everything, it's all about perception. Sorry, I'm like drinking a Coke Zero and trying not to burp while I am recording. So that's why I might sound a little strange right now. But anyway, we're gonna break it all down, and you'll have some answers whether you like them or not. Quick little update on my own life and dieting phase. I got back from Miami midweek. So I left on Friday of last week and got back on Wednesday of this past week. So whatever, I don't even know days anymore. It's all blurring together at this point. But I left, so like the Friday morning that I left, I was down to my lowest weight that I had been, which top to bottom was close to 12 pounds. It was a little over 11 pounds from top to bottom, weight-wise, which was nice. And then I went to Miami and had a little workshop and some fun. And then Mel and I took a couple of days off to just relax and decompress and lay out by the pool. And we ate a lot. And I ate a lot. And there was no holding back. Now, I wouldn't say that this was the most egregious. Like sometimes when we travel, like we really get after it. This was pretty, for us, it's moderate. For other people, it may have seemed a little bit aggressive. Like for example, we went to our favorite dessert place. If you're ever in Miami and you're in Wynwood, go to Fireman Derrick's. Hands down the best dessert place in Miami for sure. And, they have everything. And they have like cakes and pies and all that stuff. And then they also have like cookies and brownies and ice cream and literally everything. So I was like kind of in the mood for ice cream. So I get this like Oreo cheesecake ice cream. And then there's this ridiculous looking chocolate peanut butter pie. So we had to get a slice of that. And then we get to the counter and in the cookie display, there's this monster cookie that just looks like heaven. So of course we both got ice cream and then we split the pie and we split the cookie, but we just crushed everything in like 2 seconds. So there's that, but that's pretty par for the course for us. Normally we get night owl cookies and we'll get like 12 cookies and finish them in a night. So that's why I say this was a little bit more moderate. Anyway, I have not weighed myself. I'm recording this on Saturday. So I got back on Wednesday. I did not get back on track on Wednesday, just FYI. Mel was a lot better on Wednesday, which was our actual travel day. I was still living my best life, eating pizza and whatever. Then Thursday, totally on point. Friday, totally on point. Today is Saturday. I will be totally on point. Sunday, all the way through until next Friday when I leave for Vegas for the Real Coaches Summit. Shout out to Aram, amazing event that I will be at again this year. So the point to all of that is I hit my lowest weight and took a diet break, intentional. I have not weighed myself yet because there's no point, because I don't care what happened in the whatever it was, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So 6 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah. 6 days. So basically a week diet break after, you know, what was it? 7 weeks? 6 or 7 weeks, 7 weeks, I think, of dieting. Having a 1 week diet break where I'm clearly in a surplus is not a big deal, because let's say I gained back 2 pounds of actual fat. Like, okay, it is what it is. Now I'm back on track for another week, and then I'll have another, you know, 6 or so days of a diet break, but then I can just finish up when I get back from Vegas and be totally done with the dieting phase. Now, the key to all of this is non-reactionary decisions. So I didn't get on the scale yet because I don't want to be like, oh my God, I undid all of my progress. I have no idea what the scale would say. I was 185.0, like on the dot. That was my lowest weigh-in, and it was the day that I left. Probably would have weighed in around, if I had to guess, around 190. But it's not real. There's inflammation, there's water retention, there's, you know, food that's still moving through my digestion, since it takes, you know, 48 hours or so when you're. So I'm like over consuming food. There's no reason for me to mess with my own head. And I think a lot of times people look at that and they react and make assumptions that all of the hard work was for nothing. And the only way that the hard work is for nothing is if you treat it that way and then you start making reactionary decisions. So typically what I see is a lot of people will go on a vacation, or even if it's not planned, even if it's just, I'm trying to be consistent and then I overindulged on a weekend. Okay, fine. It happened. Typically, the reaction that hurts people the most is when they try to overcompensate. So like, well, the whole weekend I ate way too much, so I'm going to reduce my normal deficit. I'm going to go back into my fat loss plan, but I'm going to make it even more aggressive, which continues the cycle of restrict and binge. The other issue is when we just say, fuck it, I already ruined everything. And then we just stop trying. Like, well, there goes all of my hard work. So what's the point? I did all of that for nothing. And those are the two reactionary decisions that really make things more difficult in the long run. And I got this question for there was a Q&A call that we had for everyone who's in our neurotype study right now, which we're finishing up week 5 and about to head into week 6, which is cool because then I'll have all the data and everything to report. But somebody asked about getting back on track. It was like, what are the tips and tricks and hacks to getting back on track? And like, that's hard for me to answer because there is no trick. You just do it. Like, it's actually that simple. Is when you are trying to accomplish something, if you continue to allow the emotional manipulation to win, like your own self-inflicted emotional manipulation to win, you're never going to get anything done. You're always going to be spinning your wheels. This is just the norm. Like, for me to go from diet break, eating freely, to dialed in on my macros and hitting my plan exactly as I want to, it's just normal because I'm not giving myself any other, there's no negotiation. There's no, well, maybe I shouldn't. Well, what about? No, this is what I'm doing. This is just normal. there, and that's where like habits and rituals and routines and normalizing these things. So that brings up like a whole deeper issue, which is if you're always viewing it as a short-term fix, then you'll struggle with this mindset. But if you actively work on the behavior change, the habits, the routines, the things that are going to serve you for life, then it's normal to have a diet break, to have a vacation, to have a weekend and, you know, where you indulge, to be social, to do all the things. And just it's not even a question. You don't even have to ask the how do I? You're just doing it because that's normal. And if that hasn't become normal, then your approach probably needs to change. If you have not normalized consistency in your food choices, in your movement, in your recovery, in your sleep, in your stress management, in your day-to-day life, if those things haven't been normalized yet, you probably haven't found the right approach. That's what's missing. But I'm gonna break this down even further. So before I do that, please do me a favor, leave a 5-star rating and review as always, if you appreciate the content, if you appreciate the show. And you get a chance to win a free supplement of your choice whenever you, every single week I read a winner on Wednesday's episode. And to be eligible, all you have to do is leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. So if you haven't done that yet, get a review submitted and you have a good chance to win. And then you can choose any supplement from one of our sponsors, Cured, Organifi, or Legion Athletics. And I am right now, as I'm drinking a Coke Zero, but I previously had my Shilajit gummies from Organifi, which I absolutely love. Such a cool adaptogen, you know, better energy, performance, productivity. So I always take the Shilajit gummies, especially before a workout, and I got a workout in this morning. And I've had my Organifi green juice and the immunity, because I don't know about you guys if it's happening where you are, but everybody is getting sick around me. And I'm like, I feel like I'm in the Matrix ducking, like dodging bullets like Neo. It's just wild. So far, so good, knock on wood. But I'm like extra cautious with green juice in the morning, my immunity, my Shilajit gummies, and like making sure that my Organifi supplement game is on point, just because I want any little advantage that I can get to stay healthy and to not get sick. And yeah, my stepson is going to the Minute Clinic to see if he has strep throat, because he feels really crappy this weekend, and we want to go get him a quick test. So it's not good, but that's why I like to be proactive. So like the green juice for me is, let's make sure I'm getting my micronutrients, vitamins, minerals, all that stuff. The Shilajit is just a powerhouse of an adaptogen. And then the immunity is exactly what it says, helping with your immune system. And then of course, I also do my gold juice chocolate. Actually last night we had Harmony, because Mel made my nighttime drink. Being the amazing wife that she is. But she always takes the Harmony, and I always, typically I'll do the gold chocolate, but either one is delicious and beneficial. So if you go to Organifi.com/popfam, you can get 20% off all of their supplements. It's Organifi.com/POPFAM. And you use code popfam at checkout, you get 20% off. I know they have some cool things coming up in March in terms of like some additional benefits or whatever it's called, like promos. That's the word I'm looking for. So you can always just see on the website if there's anything additional there. But you get 20% off even when they have other promos that they're running. You always get 20% off for being a Mind Over Macros listener. So if you want to try the green juice, I recommend the crisp apple flavor. The Shilajit gummies, highly recommend those. And then the gold chocolate or the Harmony. And if you really need some help on the immune system front, get the immunity product from Organifi. It's Organifi.com/popfam, and the code is popfam for 20% off. Anyway, So a lot of what I was talking about, where we are looking at normalizing certain behaviors, it all comes down to one simple concept. And it's really hard. It's like it's a difficult thing to balance, because the concept makes sense, but then it kind of goes counter to human nature. A lot of things are like that, right? Like, we have the human brain, which has, we still operate with like our survival based instincts from hundreds of thousands of years of evolution. So a lot of our instincts are very like primitive and survival based. But then as we evolved, we developed this wonderful prefrontal cortex that allows us to pause and plan and delay gratification. But now it's like we still have the old software, but yet we have this like updated system as well that's kind of competing against each other. So I find a lot of things are, you know, our natural inclination is instant gratification, because that is a survival-based reaction. And most things that we want in life need require delayed gratification. And that's tough, because it's not the natural survival-based instinct. And so that's why people will gravitate towards like quick fix marketing tactics. Lose 30 pounds in 30 days and, you know, whatever, all that stuff. And that's why companies like OptaVia and, you know, Noom and Weight Watchers and all these other, like, you know, Whole30, they market really well, because they play on that primitive survival-based brain that's like, yes, I want this. I want it now. I need that dopamine hit to feel like I'm doing something. And that's why they're very successful. And when I say successful, I don't mean that they're successful in delivering results. They are successful in making money. That is what they are successful at doing. They get repeat customers because the results that they create are unsustainable. And then people blame themselves. And then they continue to sign up for their programs. And it just becomes a constant cash cow. There's a concept here that is also counter to our natural human instincts, and everybody understands it, but then it's really difficult to like take a step back and apply it. The concept is called facts over feelings. I'm sure you've heard plenty of people say that before. Facts over feelings. Now, as somebody who appreciates therapy and has gone through therapy and has found it very beneficial for my own personal life and also for my relationship with Mel, we've done couples therapy. We have our own version of therapy that we do together, and we have both gone through individual therapy. So I'm not here saying that emotions aren't important. I think that understanding how to process, how to listen and tune into your emotions and all of that. But the key here, and what you also learn in therapy, is that it's important to acknowledge them. It's important to process, and it's important to tend to them, meaning like don't suppress them, don't ignore them. However, it's also important that we don't immediately react to them. And that's the key. So when I say facts over feelings, what I'm talking about is don't immediately react to the emotion. Not every thought that you have is rooted in fact. And typically, it's our beliefs that generate the thoughts, that generate the feelings, that generate the action. And so at some point, we have to like press pause on that whole process playing out and recognize like, wait a minute, that was just a thought. That doesn't mean that it's true. Wait a minute, that's just a feeling. That doesn't mean I have to act on it. And so when somebody comes to me and they say, I'm really struggling to make progress towards my body composition goals, and then I ask some more questions and they're like, I feel like I'm being so consistent, but nothing's working. Okay, so notice, I feel like I'm being so consistent and nothing's working. Great. Well, let's fact check that feeling. You feel like you're being consistent. Let's talk about it. How many days per week are you nailing your nutrition goals? What are the food choices that you're making to hit those nutrition targets? Did you account for every single thing that you ate? And when you accounted for it, did you use a food scale or did you eyeball it or did you use measuring cups? They're like, well, no, I did none of that, but that's obsessive. Okay, that's also a thought. Is it fact? No, it's not obsessive unless you tell yourself and you act upon the feeling and the thought. But if we actually remove emotion, like thinking that it's obsessive is a thought, and just because it's a thought does not make it true. And consistency should not be a feeling. I feel like I'm being consistent and nothing is working. Okay. Well, let's talk about that. Were you actually consistent? So I had somebody who just recently joined one-on-one coaching. And almost exactly this scenario. I feel like I'm being so consistent. Then we start to peel back the layers. Monday through Thursday, very consistent. Friday through Sunday, wildly inconsistent. So the feeling of consistency did not actually hold up. And then this was just me asking questions and her coming to her own conclusion. Was like, well, actually, my weekends are pretty out of control. It's like, oh, well, okay, tell me more about that. And now we get to the truth, removing the emotion. And now we just get to the facts of the situation. And the part that I think is a hard pill for people to swallow is when they're like, well, it's not every day. Like, I'm consistent 5 or 6 days out of the week. And like, yeah, but if you're trying to lose fat and you're trying to accomplish this goal, you might need 7 out of 7 days. And we don't know that, but factually speaking, that might be what is necessary for you as an individual. And I'm sorry if that sucks, because I get it. You want as much freedom and flexibility as you can possibly have, but there are ways to create freedom and flexibility while also being consistent every day. Now, I'm not talking about perfection here, but I'm talking about being consistent 7 out of 7 days, which is probably what it takes when you're trying to lose body fat, because it's not easy. But I think sometimes we make it so much more difficult on ourselves because we react to perception, to thoughts, and to feelings without fact-checking. Like, I love the concept of when somebody says, oh, like I follow the 80-20 rule of 80% of the time I eat mostly whole quality food sources and 20% of the time I'm eating, you know, processed foods and things that I just enjoy. And I like the exercise of actually tallying up the calories, total calories, and then how many of those calories that you've tracked are from quality food sources. And let's actually see if it's 80%. Because most of the time, when you put the numbers to it, it feels like 80%, but it's probably not. You feel like you're being consistent, but it might just be a Monday through Thursday thing or a Monday through Friday thing. But why don't we just take the guessing game out of it and we use data and facts? I can tell you, like, this comes up, and it sucks to hear, but this comes up all the freaking time, like all the time. I feel like I'm being consistent. I feel like I'm doing everything right. Well, like, what does that actually mean to you? And then let's remove the thoughts and feelings and get straight to the facts. Again, it's important to understand, to process, to tend to your emotions. But what I'm saying is, when we have the information, now we know what we're up against, and then you can decide what you want to do. Like, if I were to tell you, like, hey, this is what it's going to take. Like, you're going to have to eat 1800 calories a day, and you're going to have to be pretty damn close to 1800 calories a day every day, 7 days a week. And you're going to have to be pretty damn close to 150 grams of protein every day, 7 days a week. And you're going to have to be pretty damn close to 8,000 to 10,000 steps per day, every day, 7 days a week. And you're going to have to be pretty damn close to 7 to 8 hours of sleep every day, right? Like, you can decide, well, I don't want to do that. It's no longer worth it. Or you can gradually work to incorporate those habits into your life. There's no right or wrong, but once we strip away all of the emotions and like the thoughts and the perceptions, or I feel like I'm doing this, but nothing's working. Okay, well, when we actually peel back the layers, we find that we're pretty far off, or at least not as close as we thought we were. Well, now it's just a, do you want to bridge the gap or not? And again, that there's no right or wrong. That's a choice to make. Like, you know what? No. I don't. I'm good here. Oh, I swear I'm eating clean. All right. Well, let's find out. How many calories did you consume yesterday? Now let's add up all the calories from processed food. Let's divide that by your total number of calories. Like, count it up. What's the percentage? It might be frustrating, but that's reality. Like, You can feel a certain way about the scale or about consistency or about anything. If that dictates, if your feelings dictate your actions, it's going to be a slippery slope. Like, what does the data actually say? It's seeing it in black and white and having it laid out for you. And that, I think that's the part where sometimes we get defensive. Sometimes we deflect. Sometimes we dance around it because it's hard to hear. Like, oh, well, that sucks. Because now I see what's really happening. And now I know exactly what I have to change. And I don't know if I'm willing to change that. Again, that's your call. Nobody can make that choice for you. But I think oftentimes we approach it with this temporary mindset. Well, I can do this for a short period of time, and then I'll just go back to what I'm doing now. No, what you're doing now has left you in the position of not, like, this is another one, facts over feelings. I'm doing everything right, but I'm not where I want to be. Well, then factually speaking, you're not doing everything right. Because if you were, then you would be where you want to be, or you at least would know for sure that you're making progress towards where you want to be. It's like, it's such a fallacy. I'm doing everything right, but I'm not making progress. Then you're absolutely not doing everything right. You might feel, again, you might feel that you're doing everything right, but factually speaking, doing the right things would lead to progress. So no, it's, you can't dance around that. You can't deflect. You can't hide from it. I mean, you can, but that's not going to be helpful. Like, get the answer. Get the answer that you're looking for. And then you have the information. You have the clear path. And you get to decide if it's worth it or not. It's like, you know, I try to look at it from my own personal perspective. And this, so far, I've been in fat loss with a plan, like this diet break, everything. This has all been part of the plan. And I've had a bunch of different things that have come up. Things that can throw off, you know, with travel and with stress. I've had like craziness in my business. Just a lot of shit that has been piling up and has left me in a place of feeling under-recovered and burnt out and stressed out, all the things. My consistency has not suffered one bit. I think I've had like 2 days out of 7 weeks where I felt like I could have handled it better than I did. Like, objectively speaking, I've been insanely consistent. So I try to look at it from my own perspective, because here's, I'm going to give you a little insight into my fucked up brain. Coming back from Miami, I have felt like I'm back at square one. I have felt like I'm back to my starting point. I have felt like all the work that I did was completely undone. And the only way that I've been able to just pick up and continue with the plan is because, factually speaking, I know that that's not possible. I know that it's not possible to undo everything in that short amount of time. Factually speaking, I can look at that and say, I've executed the plan exactly how I intended to. And then outside of this diet break, I've had like 2 days that weren't spot on out of like 7 weeks of dieting. So we're like, consistency for me, factually speaking, I can look back at all the data and show that I'm consistent, you know, whatever that is, 47 out of 49 days or something like that. It's pretty damn good. If you are struggling with that level of consistency, you just haven't normalized it yet. You haven't made the change to normalize it yet. So you're either still viewing this as a short-term intervention, or you're following the wrong type of program that's not helping you. Like, you might be doing a program that is more of a diet and less of a lifestyle change. That's less of, you know, behavior change and habit change and all those things. Or you're just not ready for that. You're just not ready to make that change in your life, which is fair and valid. But again, it's removing the feeling. So you don't have to, like, if you take the fact of like those facts, you don't have to feel frustrated, because you know, I'm not making progress because I'm not willing to change this. I'm not making progress because I'm not willing to be consistent enough. And now there's no feeling involved. Like, the worst thing is to be in that mindset of, I feel like I'm doing everything right, but something's missing. Instead of just finding out for sure and having the facts laid out for you and then making a decision from there. But you might not like the facts. You might not like that it requires a higher level of consistency. You might not like that it requires some behavior change and some lifestyle adjustments. Like, you might not be able to drink every night. You might not be able to drink as much as you want. You might not be able to, you know, go all in on certain foods and whatever. Like, there may be things that you don't like to hear. But at the same time, isn't it better to have all that information for yourself to then make the choice and then either live with the consequences of one direction or the other? I think so. Anyway, it's kind of like the fallacy of doing it on your own. Like, oh, I know I can figure this out on my own. Well, factually speaking, if you haven't done it yet, that kind of says everything we need to know. It's like, how long have you been struggling with this? 10 years, 20 years. So remind me again how doing it on your own is fact. Not take the feeling out of it. Take the feeling out of it. We're just talking about facts here. And if you haven't done it, that's the same exact fallacy of, I'm doing everything right, but I'm not making progress. Well, then factually speaking, you're not doing everything right. Well, I know what to do. I can do this on my own. Factually speaking, if you haven't done it yet, if you're not there, all the data would suggest that that's a lie. That's a fallacy. That's not right, wrong. It's not good, bad. It just is. Again, there's no judgment to it. It's just, here is the facts. Then you get to decide. So then you can say to yourself, I'm going to keep doing this on my own, knowing that it's not going to get me to where I want to be. Knowing that, I'm also adding unnecessary struggle to my plate. Like, that's the trade-off that I'm willing to make. Okay, perfect. At least we come from a place of awareness and understanding. Anyway, hopefully that all made sense. And yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all I got. If you appreciate the message, let me know. If this was a horrible message, let me know that as well. Either way, it's totally fine. You can just message me on Instagram at coach_Mike_Milner. And when I say that, I don't say it just to say it. I actually like to hear feedback, whether it's, you know, constructive criticism or it's positive feedback, whatever. I actually like to know who's listening and what's resonating and what's not, and what has your panties in a bunch. All that stuff is really helpful for me. So if you're open to sharing, just message me on Instagram at coach_Mike_Milner, and I will talk to you next time.